Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the No Quitters podcast, the best MTV The Challenge podcast in the universe. As always, I am your host, Clem, and I am joined by my ever-shifting alliance in the house. We got Connor, the rock of the alliance.
Yeah.
I would say, actually, you're probably the biggest rock of anyone. Have you even missed an episode yet? Because I know I missed one in Latvia last year.
I have not missed an episode yet. I am the Cal Ripken of the No Quitters podcast.
And we have our boy, Barstool Friggs, filling in this week.
So I guess I'm the Kevin Costner of the podcast. So.
Ever since I said your name wrong once and I called you Riggs instead of Riggs, I'm now like a little bit...
Now we have a Riggs.
Yeah, now we have a Riggs on Barstool, so I'm like overthinking myself. So Bobby Riggs, who has since gotten engaged since the last time he was on the podcast. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Nice knowing you, pal.
What an idiot.
I think the last podcast was the week, right? Like, I was getting engaged that weekend. I'm pretty sure I like did the podcast. So I'm terrified for what's coming up this weekend now.
Nothing but happiness, Bobby. Nothing but happiness.
Yeah.
All right.
So, hold on. Let's just real quick. Like, so obviously you've started doing the planning process.
Yep.
Have you put a gun in your mouth yet?
I've learned a lot of new colors, which I didn't know existed. Periwinkle. Didn't know what that was.
I was going to say, you had no idea what the hell periwinkle was.
Nope. I thought it was bullwinkle. I was like, oh, yeah, the moose.
Yeah.
So it sucks, but it's fun, I guess.
Have you done the registration yet? The registry, I mean?
No.
That you learn, like, what a duvet is, and you learn, like, a lot of things that, like, everyone, like, every girl knows from, like, the time they're five. And you're like, you don't know what a duvet is, and they're, like, offended by it, so... Best of luck, my friend Connor. Keep us strong. Keep the single spirit of this podcast strong. All right, pal.
That's what I'm here for. I'm willing to do it as long as you guys need me to.
So speaking of single idiots, we'll go to the challenge. There was really nothing on the episode that like jumped out that we have to like kind of just talk about. So we'll just kind of go chronological. Devin starts off kind of just starting shit with everyone at the bar. Corey kind of gets into a little scrap with Corey. And my theory is Corey obviously hasn't had sex in a while, which is why he's full of just testosterone. He needs to kind of, you know, let some steam off. And because you don't see that out of Corey. That was something I wanted to ask you guys. So anyway, Devin is definitely, he's a troublemaker. We knew this from anyone who watched Are You the One has told us that he's a troublemaker. Is Corey really a fighter though? You guys, I didn't watch his season.
He did on his season because really? he was fucking, I can't think of her name, but she was the blonde with big tits on his season and it was a skeleton season. So her ex-boyfriend showed up and it was kind of like a love triangle situation there for a couple minutes.
And her ex-boyfriend actually looks like Corey.
Yeah. They're both like,
I'm picturing
they're both
her face.
Beefcakes. Yeah, they're both beefcakes. It's Brian was the boyfriend.
Yeah, Brian and not Jenna.
It's Jenny. It's Jenny.
Yeah.
Bobby, I love you. This is why I love you. You said the word beefcake like three times. That's such a great word right there.
They are
beefcake. Like, I can't look at Corey now without calling him a beefcake now. Like Corey, like Anissa's diaper breath, and now Corey's baby beefcake.
Baby beefcake.
But no, Clem, in answer to your question, I don't – yeah, he might have gotten a little heated on his real-world season, but yeah, do not think he is a fighter. I think he is someone that was pretty much unathletic and skinny for most of his life, and then after college when he kind of started peaking physically, he discovered the weight room, got really into protein powder, and he put on some muscle. So anytime you get a little bigger – your head gets inflated and you think, well, I'm stronger. That just automatically translates into me being tough and me being a good fighter. And we've all seen enough internet videos now to know that size really sometimes doesn't matter at all. You can get your ass whooped by a dude very much smaller than you. So that all said, I do not think Corey is much of a fighter. I think he is quintessential popcorn muscles.
See, I disagree a little bit. And I think this is because Corey's growing on me a lot. Like I've separated him from Mitch. Like Mitch not being on this season has done a miracle for Corey. He's hilarious now. All he wants to do, I mean, he's like your drunk friend that you know you're going out and getting hammered with. Like there's no, you're not hanging out with him sober. He's just hitting on women nonstop. Mm-hmm. He's making like funny comments that, you know, the one-liners. He's grown on me this season. Like I love him. He's one of my favorite characters now. Like I'm fully rooting for him and Ashley. I think it might be replacing Mitch with Ashley that's helping that.
Definitely.
But I think he would win a couple fights. Like, I don't think he's as much popcorn muscles as we've seen other guys on the show. I mean, I'm not calling him, you know, Ken Shamrock or anything like that. He's not going out and kicking everyone's ass. I would take him in that fight with ease.
I have to say, that's a great point. Going from Mitch as your partner to Ashley is such an upgrade for Corey in just everyone's eyes. Team Beefcake. Right. You're hashtag Team Beefcake now, basically, is what you're
right.
telling me.
I mean, it's like Steve Kerr saying, going from the Knicks to the Warriors.
Yeah.
Mitch is the Knicks.
Bobby, what if I told you Corey is 5'7" at best? Does that change your opinion in any way?
Bobby's short guy, man.
As someone who's 5'9" at best, I love it.
Oh, man. Fair
enough. It should come as no surprise that Bobby disagrees. Because I've said this before, I didn't know that I could disagree with someone on so many things and actually be friends with them. But me and Bobby pretty much disagree on almost everything.
We do.
Oh, man. Too good. So we had – yeah, so Corey goes at him. Doesn't escalate anything. Kind of reminded me of last season's Corey versus Vince fight when they fought about being personal trainers, which had to be, like, the worst fight I've ever seen in my life, which I imagine personal trainers get into fight like that, like, every single Friday night in Florida. I feel like that's just where they, like, are bred to fight each other.
Yeah.
So moving along, we get – like, they kind of hit us with a lot of Tony and Camilla story. How he doesn't like her, she doesn't like him, he doesn't like that she doesn't like him. Probably because Tony only knows girls as girls that he could have sex with and impregnate. And if he's not doing it with Camilla, he really has no use for her. And Camilla, like, is on another planet at all times.
You're a prospect or you're non-existent.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not looking at you dudes, I'm looking past you kind of a thing. Yeah. And it's an interesting dynamic. We then have Camilla says... Her grandma, we find out Camilla's grandma dies, which they brought it all back with Camilla's sister calling. Did you notice that?
Larissa yes.
called. That was like,
oh, yeah, I did remember.
An interesting kind of thing. And I have to say this, like, I don't like to joke about death. So I'm being serious when I say this. If Camilla's grandma really taught her about toughness, that chick was the toughest motherfucker in Brazil. Like she's like the chick in live leak videos in Brazil that just like beast on people. Cause she, I mean, if you're like Camilla's trainer, you're the toughest person alive at one point of your life.
She was, her grandma was probably 4'10", like weighed like 98 pounds and just beat the shit out of anybody that, I mean, just glared and just people cowered.
Yes.
Like she had that. She's the Italian, obviously the Brazilian side, but, you know, you guys know in New York, New Jersey, right? The Italian grandmother, the Italian mother.
Yeah.
That's what I picture Camilla as, just speaking, Portuguese nonstop at a million miles a minute and threatening people with wooden spoons.
Yeah, and she probably ran a book, if I had to guess.
She knew somebody who ran a book. She was never her. She knew somebody.
She collected on her own book. She was that fucking
tough. Exactly. No, but think about this, man. What the Challenge House, that has got to be the worst place you would ever want to hear about a family death. Especially Camilla saying this woman is one of her biggest, if not the biggest influences in her life. Camilla, go home. Right. And then her asinine rationale, like, well, would they want me to come home or would they want me to come home with $100,000? I think they would just want you to come home, Camilla, because I think sometimes in life, some things are more important than money. And that was probably one of those times that this woman meant as much to you as you're saying, you know, give up the fame, give up the money and just go home. Because it's not like it was guaranteed either. So you're staying for a chance to win money.
Yeah, they're at the halfway mark.
Yeah.
So I mean, that's a bold move on her part.
especially I think when she's coming back the next year. Like, she's back the next season.
Yeah, easily. Yeah, just, yeah, win it next year. You know, not everyone can be Brett Favre on Monday Night Football, you know, having the game of their life after the death in the family. Yeah, just go home.
But I will say this, though. Someone tweeted at me, and they said, Thomas, like, went home with a sick girlfriend.
Yeah.
Camilla doesn't go home for a dead grandma. That just shows the old school side of the house versus the new school side of the house. Camilla's tough as nails. And, you know, our old alliance, Dan, Big Cat, he would know this better than I would. I feel like Camilla could be scared that her grandma would haunt her as a ghost. Like, a tough Brazilian grandma, you don't want her following you around. And she's, like, if her grandma could talk to her right now, she'd probably say, Camilla, if you fucking come home, I'm beating you with that wooden spoon or whatever they use in Brazil to, like, beat their kids when they're, you know, misbehaving as, like, little runts.
Now, what if the ghost went to the challenge house, though, and was part of Camilla's alliance?
Well, then, I mean,
that's a flip side.
That changes everything.
Right. That's the super-duper twist that maybe that we're seeing later this season.
But, I mean, you know, The more I see Camilla on screen, I realize, like, I love the girl. I love her. She's really grown on me. As the challenge gets worse, she's losing her fastball just as much as everyone else in the house that's been there for a while. But she still has something, you know? She still has the twinkle in her eye. She's like Bartolo a little bit.
Absolutely. She's got the Bartolo in her. I think she's committed to that John lifestyle, though, where I'm going to make the challenge my life. Mm-hmm. I'm going to commit myself to this. I need to come home in the money, you know, one out of three times. So you can't just be pissing away opportunities. So in that regard, I understand her not going home.
Yeah, yeah. And she also has two more bachelor degrees than John, I'm pretty sure, which is hilarious when you think about it. Camilla has two more bachelor degrees than our boy.
John has one.
Does he?
He went to Penn State.
He went to Penn State? Fuck hoes in Penn State? Oh, Jesus Christ. Well, I stand corrected.
Come on, you say, like, oh, he went to Penn State. Like, Penn State's, like, known for being a good school. Come on.
No, I mean,
big states.
If you had said, where did Johnny Bananas go? It wasn't an online college. I would have said a community college in Florida. That would honestly have been my guess.
So obviously a lot of my friends went to Penn State, and he'd be back there doing promotions nonstop from, like, you know, 2003, 2004 to, you know, 2008, 2009. He was just doing bar appearances.
He was just getting ready for later in life doing bar appearances outside of the country.
Good for them, though, because you can think about it. Like, we were all in bars, you know, ages 22 till present for the most part. Can you imagine just getting paid to show up at a bar? Mm-hmm. What a great life.
Yeah. Hey, man.
I can't knock them for that.
Don't hate congratulate. Yeah. And they do this as well. Like, they just get drunk as fuck, bang each other, and do it again in 6 months. So the challenge we had, it was actually a very interesting episode in that we actually had drama followed by challenge followed by elimination. And a decent challenge. We had the whole formula finally worked out. And again, you know how much I hate the scaffolding and all that kind of stuff. This one actually had a purpose to it, you know, and they had some cool slow-mo angles.
I had a suggestion to make it better.
Let's hear it.
I tweeted this at the challenge MTV. I said, instead of being attached to wires, throw parachutes on their back. And when they go off that cliff, it's up to them to pull that cord.
Yeah, I like, if you put it over water, and then it's fine, because it's like, if they don't do it, they probably will live.
But then do you get the catch?
Maybe they'll bounce off the cliff. Maybe they'll bounce off the cliff once or twice, but hey, they have helmets on, so they'll probably be okay. But credit to MTV, they tweeted back at me, hey, that's a great idea. We'll take that into consideration, which leads me to believe they're listening, Clem.
They know what's up.
They want to get better.
Now, the problem with parachutes, though, is they were holding onto the flags. Do you get, you know, the catch rule in football? What if they drop it on the way down to the water, hit the water? What if they don't complete the catch through hitting water?
Incomplete. It's just like
the catch.
It's like when you're in the pool and you catch the ball, like a football going off the diving board.
Right.
That ball pops out as soon as you hit the water. You know, you're getting razzed, you're getting booed and everything. You have to make the catch, complete it through. Dez Bryant, basically. You've handed the ball to the ref.
I have another suggestion to MTV Challenge. Hire Mike Carey for the replays.
There we go. I mean, we're cooking now, boys. We're cooking right now. I mean, Mike Carey it himself. It's just a running punchline, and him, him and TJ Lavin would form the most just under the hood 1-2 punch together.
TJ Lavin under the hood,
and TJ, I didn't tweet this, but I was thinking it. Strong red hat again. Yeah. When he wears the red hat, he has a little extra twinkle in his eye, and he said, "Oh, that was actually the elimination." So we'll hold on to that. That was one thing I wanted to ask Connor. Could you have done that challenge? Would you have won it?
Come on, no question.
Okay, just wanted to make sure. Tony had the highlight of the thing, obviously. That flip, right?
That's a web jump. I mean, that was like, I was on the edge of my seat. I did the and one celebration. Oh! Yeah, like I was hopping around like something. Yeah, you know, and the best is you could see MTV was playing it up because it went slow-mo as they were starting to go off. Yeah. And it was just a back shot of Tony kind of doing like the front half flip and reaching to get it. You knew it was coming, but it was still fantastic.
I was kind of surprised. Here's what I would have done. Number one, that whole challenge reminded me of riding on pegs or your buddy's bike when you're going somewhere. Yep. I feel like I don't see kids riding on pegs anymore at all. Not enough. They're missing out because that was the shit. But I feel like the move would have been to, as you're riding on the back, right before you're going to go off the edge, to jump. And then jump towards the flags. So you control your body weight and your body a little bit more in the trajectory of your body. You have a better chance of grabbing both those, the red and the yellow flag. So yes, Clem, I would have won.
I will say this about MTV. They knew that they needed someone to do well. And they must have been just so fucking happy when they saw Tony pull that move. Because everyone was just grabbing like the poles. It was a disaster. Kellyanne, I thought, was going to die. It was a circus.
Well, Jamie exceeded the weight limit.
Ashley had the line of the night, though.
Yes.
With, letting us all know that she is once driven into a house. I mean, I tweeted this, but like, you think she drove into a house, or you think she got drunk, passed out, and went off the road into a house?
I think it was a Michael Scott situation. She was driving soberly somewhere, and the GPS told her to turn right. Or someone said, like, hey, make a right at the barn. You know, like the old school instructions before MapQuest. Yeah. Make a right at the barn. And she literally made a right at the barn.
I honestly mean, there's like 100 different types of mammals that I would trust more than Ashley to drive me places. A few even like amphibians, or I don't even know what the difference between amphibian and reptile is, but I'm pretty sure there's a few amphibians and reptiles I would trust driving a car more than Ashley.
I would take anything living in Franco's apartment driving.
I just picture her running into the house, stumbling out of the driver's seat, gash in the forehead, and saying, well, at least I didn't spill my beer.
Yeah. The way she laughed at that wasn't like, oh, like, you guys are busting my balls about, like, driving like an idiot. It's like, oh, yeah, I did something really stupid, and I have no remorse at all about it, and I'm going to do it again probably. She's probably done it since this wrapped up their season.
Yeah.
The funny thing about this challenge is that Nate and Christina, who, I don't know, are the worst team in the fucking thing, won. So that pissed me off. We got to see Nate and Christina go to the power couple dinner. Christina had the line of the night saying lettuce and pizza amazing. So apparently, you know, like a $20 date with Christina will fucking blow her mind.
Like, Jesus, pizza's what I get on the way home when I'm hammered. I don't, you know, sometimes we'll go out for pizza, but I don't get excited about pizza the way she did. Like, it was a delicacy.
Let alone Mexican pizza.
Yeah.
Like, that was worse than Papa John's, Domino's. That was Little Caesars, like Little Caesars on steroids.
What did they?
It's just a sign of the times, though. Just MTV's budget hurting for this show.
What do they feed the other cast members? I want to know, like, gruel. Is it like Prison Mike? Is it like they just feed them gruel and just let them like keep them locked up?
They have to kill their own meat.
No, I feel like they've been doing the DiGiorno pizzas for a couple seasons now.
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
It's probably a lot of that. Probably a lot of hot pockets.
Which begs the question, what are they feeding like the whole house on their regular meals? That pizza is seen as such a treat.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. What are they feeding them gruel that it's like, oh, pizza. Like,
yeah.
I see the hot trays. I'm a big guy. I'm always thinking, what's in that hot tray right there? It can't be anything that bad.
Is there anything more fun than going to a party of any kind and seeing hot trays and thinking like, ooh, wonder what's in there?
Nothing will get the juices flowing than when you see that there's hot trays at a place you didn't know there was going to be hot trays.
Yeah, I was at a 30th birthday party this past Saturday. There were hot trays. I was excited. So real quick, Bobby, Clem, you go to a party, you see hot trays. What are the three things you want to see in a hot tray?
Chicken parm,
hot Italian sausage, and peppers, like, you know, mixed in there.
Yep.
I agree with chicken parm.
I like to have like a big ziti or something just so I have some carbs.
Yeah.
Here it is. You give me a chicken, whether it's chicken marsala, lemon chicken, chicken parm. You give me some sort of big ziti, penne alla vodka, and you give me some sort of potato. We're good to hook.
Yep. No, that's a good question. The one thing I hate is someone who, if you have like a few hot trays and there's no one telling you what's in there, I think sometimes you need to have the little place cards. Because when you think you're getting chicken parm and you get eggplant parm, day ruiner. The party's ruined. Mm-hmm. Everyone's unhappy. Just don't get eggplant parm, people. If you're getting eggplant parm, I need like a 2 chicken parm to 1 eggplant parm hot tray ratio. So I know there's the chicken parm won't run out before the eggplant parm.
But I do like the surprise. If you don't know what's in any of the hot trays until you're in line, I love seeing like the guy behind me, you know, doing the move where you're looking over the person's shoulder, like, what's going on up there? What do you see? What do you see?
Yeah.
And it's just I love the surprise factor though. You need the little plates or the little name tags.
Yeah, but also with the surprise factor, if you don't know what's going to come up next, if you see something in a tray, you're putting it on your plate. You're not rationing. You're not thinking like, oh, I can skip this because I know I'm getting that. You just get a little bit of everything. And then you have a plate piled high full of deliciousness.
Yeah. And before we can move on, as you get older, now that I have a wife, Bobby, I mean, you have a girlfriend. Now you have a fiance. Once she's a wife, the best feeling you can do is once you're married, and you can even do it while you're dating, but it's better when you're married. Say, go make me a plate. Can you make me a plate? With the ring, that comes with the ring. No one tells you that, but I'll tell you that as a married guy. They have to basically make you a plate because you had to do the ring shopping, the buying, all that stuff. There's like little hidden perks. They making you a plate, and I've never seen a guy get a bad plate from his wife, unless I guess if the marriage is in trouble.
No.
Yeah, like, I guess that's the sign.
Yeah, like women can hook a plate up. I will say that. And I'm not, that's not, that came off really sexist. But my wife can hook a plate up. How does that sound? So I've never seen someone throw a plate.
I've never seen a woman, because I've seen the can you make me a plate move plenty of times. You go to enough weddings, you see a lot of things. I've never seen a bad plate.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
So maybe that's just one of those things. Like women have maternal instincts. Maybe they also have plate instincts.
Yes. And I have probably made people bad plates as a guy.
Oh,
so
absolutely.
It's like, I think it is like a women are a better thing, that they're better than them. So God bless them. All right, moving on. We can start a whole, you know, hot tray podcast. Maybe down the road we'll see if we have some of the bandwidth for it.
I think the moral of the story is either these kids aren't getting fed well or they're a bunch of sewer rats who think pizza is delicacy. Don't get me wrong. I love pizza, but it's not a five-star meal.
Mexican pizza with lettuce, like it's fucking the greatest thing ever. And fucking that little dirty rat Nate and his fucking mustache. Oh, God. And fucking JJ. It must kill JJ to know that he's been with Nicole. Must be driving up the wall. So we get to the elimination. And the best part is Tony comes over and he like basically talks them out of it. Camilla does, it was such a wise veteran move. I think you guys probably picked up on this. She's like, oh, you're being the bigger person. Like she basically told him, like, you're not voting us in because you're the bigger person. And I think that tricked them into throwing the Are You the One teams in.
She convinced them
that they didn't cheat. She completely flipped the script. She was almost like, you know, we didn't cheat. You forced us to do what we did, which was cheat. But she made them believe that it was their fault. That's like, you know, the woman, like, Oh, well, I shouldn't have gotten him angry. No, he hit you. But I should have made him a better player.
So I tweeted this out, and last time I was on, I kind of talked about how Nate was UCF, John was Texas.
Yep.
Camilla, and someone asked, like, hey, can you start coming up with this? And it's tougher than I realized. But Camilla's North Carolina. She blatantly cheated. Mm-hmm. North Carolina took fake classes. Everyone in the world knows it. But they somehow convinced everyone it was the women's basketball team. No, it wasn't us. No, Rashawn McCants played for the women. You're thinking of Rashida McCants. Like, that's what Camilla did.
She's an old veteran. You know, you could be like, oh, Camilla.
Yeah, it's a
veteran. It was like a couple weeks ago. It was a couple weeks ago when, like, Wes convinced Corey to, like, throw himself in almost.
Yep. It's true.
Great to see.
So, I mean, I loved it, obviously. I love seeing already the one team. We had, like, a little scuffle going on, a little just, you know, chit-chat. Everyone was all pissed off. I loved it. If they had thrown in a Camilla that was, like, just normal, that would have been dangerous. As we saw last week when she, like, almost killed TJ just for saying she did exactly what she did. Throwing a Camilla in that just lost her grandma, that was, like, the OG of all Brazil, apparently, would have been the most dangerous move. Like, we would have seen CT Adam would be known as, like, the second most gruesome fight on Challenge history.
It would have been, I mean, like you said, we saw what she did to TJ when there was video evidence of her doing exactly what TJ said. This would just be, you can't even put into words. I mean, it'd be like Tyson in his prime. She'd just come out, two punch, everyone would be down. Like, she'd just go after the entire house, I feel like. It would be targeted at everybody.
I feel like by the end of it, she'd just be punched out. Like, she'd be so tired.
Right.
Just carcasses laying around and bodies on the ground.
Body bags. Get him a body bag, Johnny.
Camilla body bags. Speaking of which, reminds me, during we had one of those little commercials where Wes talked about Vinny Pineapples.
So bad, but so funny. It was so bad. It was so funny.
So bad, but so funny at the same time. Just because Vince is such a fuck, and he's like just such like a, he's just a goddamn pineapple. I mean, he is a pineapple. Like, that's where I come back to him. Like, he's just a goddamn pineapple in the corner.
But does Wes think bananas and pineapples are related?
Probably. I think it's all in Chiquita Banana's hat, so it's all one and the same.
Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, I mean, hey, good name by Wes. I mean, I'm not a Wes fan, but I'll give him credit when he has it. So our midget doesn't come through today. No white skulls. First poll.
Wait. Time out. We gotta go back. Can we just really quick mention Kellyanne, her outfit? Elimination.
Definitely.
Clem, you said she came out throwing a fastball. Shout out to Brandon McNair, who said she's throwing two fastballs. Nicely played. She was just murdering that crop top. She was making it work. So good for Kellyanne.
So was Amanda, though. Amanda walked away she was a quick riser. She was a very quick, and I think Jack mentioned it on a podcast a couple weeks ago with you guys where he was like, I'm getting into these freckles.
Yeah.
She owned it, and it was she had some fastballs going too.
Yeah, I think I had rewatched last week's episode when I said I was really digging Amanda, and the part that I saw was like, ooh, maybe not. But for the most part, she's 94 on the gun, legit. Do you think these girls like dress up extra nice on these things so they don't get like Kellyanne was already in, so maybe it, but like maybe she dressed up extra nice so it's like, oh, Kellyanne's hot. I want her to come back, so we'll throw in the shitty team, right? Doesn't that make sense?
Oh, absolutely.
And then the girls who are,
go ahead.
No, yeah, I was just gonna say, and the girls that are don't want to get thrown in are like, oh, I was gonna throw in Amanda, but. You know, Amanda's looking hot here. I don't want to lose her, so we'll throw in blah, blah, blah. I mean, it just makes sense, right? Typical defense mechanism.
I need Tony and Camilla to be the power couple now to see what women dress to convince Tony not to throw them in.
That's a great point. But I was going to say, it's like anything else. Women know, you know, you got to look. Looking a certain way certainly bodes well in life, so it's certainly going to bode very well in a challenge house. So good for Kellyanne and good for Amanda.
Good for us.
I support that. Good for us.
For Tony, they'll be like, Tony, and they'll flush their birth control down the toilet. They're like, if you don't vote me in, I'll fucking flush my birth control down the toilet.
Just start poking holes in condoms in front of them. Tony's never been more aroused.
Oh, we're assholes. Oh man. So we go to the elimination first. After like being convinced for weeks that there was a midget who put white skulls in the bag, so we'd only always have like everyone, the drama of people picking out skulls, and it kept going. Amanda goes on like a brief soliloquy about how her dad needs money after his quadruple. She said quadruple open heart, which I guess means four hearts. He has four fucking hearts.
Well, I'm assuming it was quadruple bypass.
So,
yeah, I think it's an open heart surgery.
So shout to one of our followers, Hodor Knows. He told me he was watching the show, and his dad is a heart surgeon, and he heard that on the TV, and he came into the room and said, "What the hell are you watching? Like, that's not even a real thing." So at first you think like, oh, I wonder if Amanda's making that up because she wants sympathy. Then you realize, no, Amanda is just saying what she truly believes is true because she is that stupid.
Yeah. So that was something. And I had to rewind it actually and like rewatch and be like, all right, like I am not the dumb one here. I was pretty sure since I'm not the one on the reality show, I thought I wasn't the dumb one.
Yeah.
But then I also have the podcast about the reality show. So I'm like, wait, I think I might be the dumb one. So I think we're both dumb. But her dad either has four hearts or she's an idiot as well. So whatever. She pulls the black skull, poor thing. The elimination, at first I hated it because like someone tweeted us, were the glory days of just people just ramming into each other and killing each other. But when you can throw people into an ice bath and just let it get weird, and then you have guys peeing on each other. Like I said, don't think that was the first time guys peed on Kellyanne, or the last time for that matter.
How about what Max said?
Oh yeah. And she said, what was it? If you have to ask the question, the answer is probably no.
Yeah.
She doesn't even watch the show. She's like, I don't watch the show.
She's like, I'm not watching the show. I have no idea what you're talking about. But if you have to ask that question, the answer is probably no.
I mean,
I love the best.
Peeing on someone is just a Jamie and Cara Maria Saturday night.
that's fun time at the cousin household. And that's the other thing about the eliminations that I miss is when there actually is like a photo finish. I imagine we were all rooting for, Kellyanne again. I mean, after she got out, she had, I guess when you're in the ice tub, kind of firms everything up. Plus she was already looking good going into it. Plus you're in black. Plus it was the most feelings I've had for Kellyanne since her Real World season in Australia, when I was in love with her, despite her seemingly being a garbage person. She was like the meanest bitch. Do you guys remember that?
Oh yeah, she was trashy as
like
hell.
Parisa, I think, was the girl's name, and they were like spitting at her and like just doing like the most vile shit. But she dated Kahuta, which was like just playing with my heartstrings because that was my dude. Quick aside, did you guys watch that season like closely?
Yeah, of course.
I didn't watch it closely, but I remember it. I was like in and out on that season.
Yeah, yeah. That's,
I watched.
I was a big fan of that season because I like Kahuta, but I loved Isaac. Isaac was one of the most awesome guys in challenges in Real World history. He's kind of sucked on the challenges. I think he tried just does his own thing. That dude was awesome. I don't know. I just wanted to add that in because I think Isaac, when it's all said and done, is my favorite Real World character ever, which is a very bold statement. But that was my dude. That was my dude, man.
Man, Kellyanne, man, she's a quintessential, you know, looks great at the bar when the lights are dim. And as long as you get out of there before the lights come on, you'll be happy with yourself until you wake up in the morning. And, you know, we've all been there, but she's got that quintessential look to where I feel like her face, well, we saw her face, Clem. I don't know. I think she's just a little older in the face, but which looks great in dim light. And obviously the boobs do the talking, but come the morning, you regret some of the decisions you made.
Yeah. And she's definitely older in the face than probably even her. She's probably lived a fast life, I would say.
Yeah.
But in her Real World season, when she was young, she had it just going. I mean, there was never like when she brings it in these episodes, it's like the on off switch. It's not as stark as Nicole, who we saw on the next for the rest of the season. You see the Nicole face and you're just like, what the fuck is that? Sorry, JJ, if you're listening.
But you mentioned everyone cheering for them. I don't know if I was. Like, I wasn't cheering against them by any means, but I liked what Amanda was bringing to the house.
I understand.
Like, she was just, she was that little spark of energy. Like, she was like, you know, you bring somebody off the bench in basketball for Jamal Crawford. Just coming in and dropping 20 points right away.
Yep.
She came in and she just didn't give any fucks and was just ready to fight and argue with anybody. I felt like she kind of revived that the season a little bit. Like, it was just someone new.
Yeah, I agree with that. I don't really have serious issues with her. I could see myself liking her. What I do think she did for herself was lock up an appearance on future seasons.
Absolutely.
Yeah. She came in, lasted for a few episodes, stirred just the right amount of shit up, and she proved that she can hold her own a little bit. So I think we'll see Amanda again.
Yeah, and I definitely appreciate how she just came in. She had like a little Veronica Corningstone where she just got right in your face. She didn't give a shit. I appreciated her. And like you said, the freckles. Nelson was kind of a zero, but I mean, I don't know if that's just how he is or just how they edited it.
Well, at least he can be on the next scary movie since he's clearly one of the Wayans brothers.
Yeah.
Question for you guys, though. Would you prefer challenges or like eliminations like this where it's two teams that you either both like or just kind of whatever with? Or do you like when it's a team you like and a team you hate? So you have definitive rooting interest. Yeah.
Just for entertainment value, I like it when it's like that and the team that I hate is kind of a little bit ahead and the team that I want to win has to come from behind. I just find that to be a little more exciting and I'm a little more invested into watching how the outcome plays out.
Yeah, I'm the same way, and especially when that happens and it's one of those like 3 foot wide hallways that, you know, you're going to truck each other. Then you're just looking for someone to get hurt. It's definitely where you have like a clear side. I will say though, Bobby, I will admit that Jamie fucking is the worst, and I wouldn't mind seeing him go home. I would have loved if Amanda could have somehow stayed instead of Jamie. Amanda and Kellyanne creating a sex bot team.
I agree. Like, yeah, it's one of those where, like you guys said, it's weird not having a true rooting interest because I found myself kind of checking out during the elimination because it's like, well, whoever wins, wins. I don't really care either way because we're getting Kellyanne back or we're getting Ashley back. And then it was net zero, like you said. It was net zero for Nelson and Jamie. Yeah. I mean, he brings at least some entertainment value in that everyone just makes fun of him.
Yep. Yeah, Jamie's such a zero, dude. He gets pushed around by all the other guys. And he wears wool hats. It's like, yo, you're in fucking Mexico. You are not somewhere that it's cold. You are not back home in Massachusetts. You are in fucking Mexico. You, Camilla, take off the goddamn wool hats. I fucking hate that. That pisses me off to no end when these idiot kids wear wool hats in 70 degree plus weather. Get the hell out of my face with these wool fucking hats.
That's a man who probably saw someone in a wool hat at the Jersey Shore last week, right there. This is carried over from last week.
Don't let me catch you down the shore in a wool hat. I will come up and snatch that thing right off your head.
And throw it into the bonfire they're probably around. I like that.
Yeah.
So they ended up winning, which was pretty close, but obviously Kellyanne and Jamie end up winning, which I was happy about, but in the end, like having more of Jamie and his awkward posture with his fucking chest out and his wool hats.
Fucking wool hats.
The only other thing I have, which was right after the episode, was Jenna saying that she apologized for being kind of out of it this season because she'll find out more. My heart's broken, guys. America's
fucking sweetheart. Vince. Fucking Vince. It's the only thing I can think of.
That's true. I mean, there was rumors about her saying something about Zach as well in an interview. Our boy Danny Coffey said something about Zach. I don't know what he did, but I don't know if he comes in. I don't know what happens. Or I know he broke her heart, as we learned at the reunion. I don't know.
There's still I'm still curious to see who TJ kicks out of the house. Like, there's still somebody getting kicked out.
Oh, yeah. That's
and it's,
good.
It's either Vince, Tony, or who did I say it was when I tweeted you last week? Did I say it was Tony? Or who got the warning?
You just said Vince. You said
it. Yeah, so it was Vince. Yeah, it's got to be Vince or Tony. It's got to be one of them two.
I could see Vince getting thrown out and either Jenna getting thrown out and that's why she's pissed, or right. Zach coming in as a rival because he dumped her and she gets to go with Zach. Because, again, you can't. If you get rid of America's Sweetheart, I might have to leave just on principle. I want to stay in now that we've kind of righted the ship a bit. But if you get rid of my girl, like now you're putting your thumb right in my eye. All right, so MVP, LVP. Connor, MVP.
Jesus, I don't know. I'm going to say Telly Ann, strictly for the crop top and the performance in the jungle. Good for her. Good for you, Kelly Ann. Keep bringing the heat.
Bobby?
I'm going to go Corey. He dropped the Cool Runnings line right before the challenge. As any of us who were born in the 80s can appreciate, is a good Cool Runnings line. And it worked perfectly.
Yeah, that was actually kind of surprising that he made that reference, considering I think that movie's a little bit older than he would have.
It's like 94, 95, sometime around
94,
then.
Yeah. I believe it's 94.
So MVP for that. And like I said earlier, I like that he kind of went after Devin a little bit, even though there was, you know, like a fake altercation, however you want to describe it, growing on me this season. And he's dropping Cool Runnings lines. I mean, hey, Corey, come to Cincinnati. We'll drink $3 beers.
Couple of short guys hanging out.
Yeah.
Corey, he called you a beefcake, so I wouldn't get too close to him. I wouldn't drink too much around him.
I need a short guy in my crew. I can't be the short guy.
I was going to go Kellyanne as well because, again, the heat. But a little trivia, Cool Runnings. My buddy named his fantasy team after John Candy's character in that movie, Irv Blitzer. That's a nice little trivia answer you can drop on your friends. What was the name of John Candy's character in Cool Runnings? So you drop that on your friends.
Oh, man. One of John Candy's best ones, I think.
R.I.P.
Up there with Uncle Buck.
Yep, just like Uncle Buck, R.I.P. My MVP is Camilla, just because she didn't go home because her tough-as-nails grandma died. Probably talked herself out of an elimination round. Just was the name of the episode was the Camillinator Salvation, which I actually have to give MTV credit for. That was pretty funny. But you know, the old Wiley vet still doing it. Old North Carolina still able to make their runs in the tournaments. I'll lead off with LVP. My LVP is Nate, just because I hate his ass and because they threw Are You the One teams in when that was probably like their only chance in the world of like really sticking around for a long time, was at least like not throwing two. Like, you don't want to throw in Camilla, that's fine, or Tony, that's fine, because they're kind of an alliance. Because hashtag people forget, shout out to the person who tweeted to me, people forget that Tony banged Christina in episode one last year.
Yeah.
But, you know, throw someone else in. And especially if anyone else had gone into there, and then you have Jamie and Kellyanne, who are a decent team, you could probably get someone good eliminated. But these idiots, they do what they do. So LVP Nate, that shitty fucking dirt stash. Bobby?
My LVP is going to be a combination of production and the health of everyone's family members. Because this was a sad episode.
Yeah.
I mean, we got Camilla's grandmother dying. Last week we had Tom's girlfriend based on TJ's reaction, I'm assuming it was a pretty serious health scare.
Yep.
And Ashley or Amanda's story of her dad. I watched a challenge to laugh my ass off and get pissed off at like Wes. I don't want to cry. I don't want to feel bad for these people.
I don't need real world problems when I'm watching the challenge.
Exactly.
Yes.
So my LVP is that. I mean, I don't stay away from that, please. And Devin, because fuck Devin.
My LVP are wool hats and tropical climates. That's it.
Fair enough. Devin is a supervillain. He has like the mind of a supervillain, I've noticed. And he like actually knows how to do puzzles and stuff. It's going to be kind of fascinating what he does the rest of the way. And what Jamie's hats are the rest of the way now we know it pisses Connor off.
Well, there seems to be a good clip on the preview of like the second half of the season where It looks like he's yelling at bananas on like the jungle dock or whatever. So something tells me he gets power couple once and he might throw in like bananas and West or something like that. I'm curious to see like what you said, because there's definitely something planned, because there's yelling and it's him and Banana. So something happens.
Something happens. All right, cool. So real quick, couple notes here. JJ at Barstool JJ tweeted out, if you want to hear Tony on the podcast, because I guess JJ's slid in those DMs and is trying to beat down Tony to get him on the show. Since we don't have any hot blondes on the show, sorry Connor. We're trying to get him to come. So if you go to at Barstool JJ or you go to our Twitter at No Quitters Pod. We have a thing where you can either retweet or favorite the tweet about JJ saying, if you want Tony on the show, retweet or favorite this just to let him know we want him. We are in talks. Drew Bananas person just got back to me. I just saw it like right before he just got back to me. I think today we're going to try to get him on sooner rather than later. And a little bit of an announcement. I might've mentioned this last week on the show. I don't know. I'm not proud of it, guys. Bobby, I know you've done it. I'm going to watch a season of Are You the One? I set up the DVR. I'm going to watch it. I'm not going to tweet it. I'm going to watch it. If it becomes tweetable, I'm going to tweet it. But I have to see what we have here. And this, keep your friends close, your enemies closer. It's like that kind of a thing. So that's what I'm going to do for us here. Bobby, are you watching? Are you going to watch the season?
You know what? I was just about to say, because you are my blogging father. I might join you and just text each other instead of tweet what's going on. Might do it for scouting reasons.
Yeah.
You know, drop a scouting report on the next Amanda or the next Devin. So, I might, I saw it came on right after the episode tonight.
Yep.
Which I'm assuming was this, cause my
it's the premiere.
Guy thing said, yeah, it's season one. So I might give it a shot on DVR. It could be a good Sunday afternoon laying on the couch, throw on and knock out a couple episodes then.
Yeah. And listen to our listeners. I know some of you guys said some people have said they're going to watch and that I should watch because it's really good. I am going to watch. I am not promoting other people to watch it. So I want to make that very clear. Yeah. Fuck MTV for shoving these assholes down our throat. I just feel like it needs to be done. I have to give it a fair shot. So if I know they just suck on the challenge or the show just sucks altogether, Connor, you live the life that we can't live. You live that shore life, and we'll watch shitty Are You the Ones. You watch enough bad TV as it is. You don't need to watch anymore. So you can stay clean on this one.
You know I would never quit on my alliance, so I've already committed to watching this show. So I will be there with you guys. Don't worry.
You're a good man. You're a good man. The fucking Cal Ripken, the Kyle Ripken of the podcast.
That's right. That's right.
All right. So that wraps up the episode. So follow us on Twitter at No Quitters Pod. You can follow me on Twitter at The Clem Report. I do a blog every Thursday for the challenge. We have the podcast. If you listen on obviously iTunes or SoundCloud, you listen there. The podcast is also in my weekly recap on BarstoolSports.com. You can see it there. Let's see. Who do we want to go with first here? We'll go with Bobby first. Bobby, you plug away because, Connor, I know you have something. So, Bobby, let us know where to find you and what's coming up.
Yeah, follow me at Barstool Reegs. That's Reags. Follow my – it's predominantly college basketball, but we're doing obviously a lot of stuff with the draft. We'll be doing a lot of stuff with the Olympics. Touched a little bit on the NBA Finals. But Storm the Court PC on Twitter. We have a newsletter that goes out pretty much every Friday-ish. We have a new website coming that our website guy did a great job on. You'll be able to submit questions and whatnot in there. So follow that. We usually about a weekly show. So, again, that's on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, all the good stuff. I put it in my blogs. Read my stuff on Barstool U. I'm in the middle of doing scouting reports for – you know, lottery type picks, first round pick guys, that a lot of like Celtics fans had kind of asked me about. Well, I'd be putting out a mock draft similar to what Sam Alaska did for baseball. If you saw that, that'll be coming out sometime next week. Got a little help. Smitty, you know, submitted the Sixers pick. I'm going to get some Celtics picks. I might try to get Big Cat to give me the Bulls pick for him. But then that'll be, you know, a traditional mock draft. So yeah, follow me at Barstool Reags, R-E-A-G-S. Follow the show at Storm the Court PC.
All right.
Nice.
Cool. And now to our Cal Ripken. The floor is yours, sir.
Follow me at Captain Cons. Speaking of another man of our alliance, Jack, Barstool JJ, at Barstool JJ. Jack is throwing out the first pitch at the Staten Island Yankees game next Thursday. $12 tickets, $1 beers. I'm going because you don't not go to $1 beers. And I'm sure that'll be a good time. I know there's some other folks, some other Barstool personalities that will be there. Jack has the link up on his Twitter profile, so go check that out. And now, for all you folks that go down to the Jersey Shore, predominantly to the Belmar, Spring Lake, Manasquan area, I have a inside tip for you. If you find yourself late at night and you need some food after the bar, go to the Boathouse in Belmar. In front of the Boathouse is Collins Burrito Stand. These are by far the best burritos I've ever had in my life. You go to the burrito stand, you tell them No Quitters Pod and Captain Khan sent you, you will get a free drink with your burrito. I think that's a pretty sweet deal. And especially if you're drunk, who doesn't like free stuff? Clem, Bobby, I promise you, if you make it down the shore, I will take you there. It's delicious, unbelievable, unreal burritos. So Boathouse in Belmar, they open up at 9. They go all night until they don't have any food left. So make the trip. Tell them we sent you. Enjoy. You're welcome.
I love it. I actually had a bad – I went to Salsa Fresca, which I think is like a chain. It's kind of like a Chipotle. Mm-hmm. It was – I've been there once before. I got a burrito. It was terrible. I went today, got the quesadilla, hated it as well. And I was like, I need a place with a good burrito that's closer than my nearest Chipotle is not that close. And now I need to go to – I need to get to this burrito stand sooner or later, at least
you
for the free drink.
Yeah. You need to drive your happy ass from upstate New York down to Belmar just for this burrito. And make sure you get the crushed Doritos on the burrito. Makes it.
See, you should have just led with the crushed Doritos on the burrito. That's how you
– that's better than the free drink.
Yeah. Exactly. Pay for the crushed Doritos.
Make it.
Oh, our first unofficial plug on the podcast. I feel so proud right now.
Oh, and also, Clem, I think I took it up from a 6 closer to an 8.5 on Snapchat last weekend.
Yeah, yep, but you were not there. I said I need an 8.5. So until that 8.5 is reached, I cannot give you anything else. So until that 8.5
Well, Clem, let's just say there was stuff going on that I could not put on Snapchat that I believe would have put me over the 8.5 hill. But that being said, Pixar didn't happen. So
yep.
Well, I'll continue to strive for that 8.5 or better.
If you could have gotten it better than an 8.5 and you didn't do it, you just cost yourself a shoe-in of an 8.5. But hey, keep working, man. You got the whole summer ahead of you. Bobby, you have the whole until the wedding ahead of you. And my life is over. But as always, don't quit on us. We won't quit on you.